Well, the Collective Cast is the official podcast of the Reform Collective. Views expressed by the hosts and guests do not necessarily represent or the Collective as a whole.
The gospel is the power of God for salvation. God foreknows, predestines, calls, justifies, glorifies, but he will not lose them. That's the promise.
No Christian should walk with a judgmental swagger because we did not work out our own salvation. It was given by a God of compassion and mercy.
Hey, I'd like to welcome everybody to our show tonight. Go ahead and get your Bibles out. Get ready to flip through the passages. But let me tell you a little bit about the show. This is Reform Collective, the biblical perspectives. This show is necessary because folks have gotten reckless.
Reaching with agendas,
twisting scriptures, ignoring the glory that we find in Christ's redemption.
Bad doctrine, we refute it. We'll exegete the text with the proper hermeneutic. Systematic context, truth and love, that's how we do it. And now to Josh and Jason.
Yeah.
Welcome to the modern Reformation.
We need to deliver ourselves from the bondage of prayerless praying and learn to take up, as the Reformers and Puritans did, their mantle of prayer and dependency on the Holy Spirit, and storm the mercy seat and take the kingdom of heaven by violence, for the violent take it by force.
Welcome to the Collective Cast. I'm Josh, and I am again going to be your lonely host. Jason is still out. He has entrusted me, as crazy as this sounds, he has entrusted me with the reins of lone command here on the Collective Cast. But hopefully this will be a profitable episode. What I'm going to do is I'm gonna do something that I've already done on video. I never published the video that I made because I thought it was too long, unnecessarily so. So what I want to do is I want to do exactly what I did in that video, but I want to condense it down to 30 minutes instead of a full hour. That's going to be a challenge because there's so much to talk about in reference to what we're about to hear. And there's so much to talk about because I'm going to be reviewing a video made by a self-professed, I guess you could say, atheist or agnostic. I'm not exactly sure specifically where he lands, but this is Neil deGrasse Tyson. He is an astrophysicist, and he has taught many classes at prestigious universities. He has been invited numerous times to different places around the globe to do certain lectures and talks and PowerPoint presentations and things of that nature. And so that's who we concern ourselves with tonight. He makes a, I'm just going to kind of jump into what we're doing. He makes a 4 minute and 42 second video, which is part of his kind of Star Talk enterprise. He has this thing and he broadcasts on YouTube as well, but it's called Star Talk Radio. He has a late night TV show as well on National Geographic. Imagine National Geographic doing late night television. It's comical. It's hilarious to me. But anyways, he is on there on the channel, which supposedly champions scientific discovery and rigorous intellectual thought. He is on a nighttime television show on a channel like that. So take that for what you will. But this is Neil Tyson. He is a scientist, and he's going to be expressing some thoughts and some concerns that he has with America. And I want to go, well, specifically with science in America, and I want to go through that. Presumably, give you some context of this video before we get kicked off. I'm not exactly sure as to the exact spark which caused him or which kind of compelled him to make this video. What I am sure about is that it has to have some reference to the political situation. He references a video or two there of current political figures such as Mike Pence. And so there's that. And I think it largely is a reaction to what he perceives to be the denial of certain scientific tenets, which are actually largely debated in this country. And so and in the scientific community as a whole. But what I want to try to expose for you here, and I hope that I can do that by God's grace, is the fact that what Neil says isn't exactly true. And for those of you who are thinking individuals, for those of you who have gone to school, who've gone to college, who have sat in, you know, numerous hours in university classrooms, those who like to use their brains during their jobs, those who like to help their kids with math problems, those who like to talk to their kids about worldview issues, about things that are going to that they are going to encounter in their lives. I want us all, us people who try to think, who want to honestly investigate things, I want us to stop here at this video, and I want us to examine what's going on here. And I think what we're going to find is there's some intellectually dishonest material here in this 4 minute and 42 second span of time. And so what I want to do is I want to go through and cover that. And I want to do it to the best of my ability. This is not scripted, so don't expect some like perfectly well thought out, you know, response to Neil Tyson, an astrophysicist who has been in school and out of school three times since, you know, could have been in school and out of school and, you know, in his current profession three times longer than I've been alive. I'm going to grant him his expertise in his field in astrophysics. I will by no means try to, you know, come into that sphere of thought and, you know, manipulate anything he says. That's not what I want to do. What I want to do is I want to talk about worldview issues, and that's largely philosophical, and I want to engage him from a biblical perspective. And so that's what I seek to do right now, hopefully in the next 25 minutes. So without further ado, let's go ahead and kick this off.
How did America rise up from a backwoods country to be one of the greatest nations the world has ever known? We pioneered industries. And all of this required the greatest innovations in science and technology in the world. And so science is a fundamental part of the country that we are.
Okay, now let me go ahead and stop there. And, you know, he's exactly right. I mean, you know, progression in intellectual research and study has led us in some aspects to be the country that we are. But make no mistake, it's not just the scientific method. It's not just, you know, experimentation with the physical world around us that has led us to be the country that we are. You know, things that are brought to bear in a very practical way in all each of our lives plays an integral role to who we are as a nation and to what we are as a nation, to who we've been as a nation. And, you know, we can think of things like morals, you know, on a larger scale, we can think of ethics. National ethics, political ethics, which has played huge roles in this nation. And you can't ascribe the success of those things to science or just the bare use of the scientific method. And so what Neil is doing here is he's already smashing a bunch of spheres together and kind of labeling it. He's oversimplifying it. He's kind of labeling everything under that as something, stuff that is kind of determined by science. But hopefully what we'll find out is that not everything is scientifically determined in a naturalistic empirical sense. And that's what I want to talk about. And I think what he's already making assumptions at this point. And I want to go ahead and dig deeper into those as we move throughout this video.
But in this, the 21st century, when it comes time to make decisions about science, it seems to me people have lost the ability to judge.
Now he's isolating our generation. He's isolating our century, even the 21st century. He's isolating it, and almost the assumption there, the implicit assumption there, is that now all of a sudden people all of a sudden want to deny science. Well, that's not true. And if it were true, it wouldn't be the first time that it's happened. And that never necessarily stopped the progression of society into becoming more moralistic, more well thought out groups of people. Just because people deny certain scientific discoveries has no bearing all of the time on how far a society gets, either technologically or ethically. And generally speaking, philosophically. I mean, so societies can advance, okay? Societies can advance even while denying certain areas of science. And that's seen in the very fact that you have people in you know, the historical eras, which, you know, largely just assumed that the Earth was flat, and they weren't necessarily, and then some, you know, and there's even some of those today who hold on to this belief that the Earth is flat, thinking that they're going to destroy some special thing, you know, found in the Bible, which isn't there. But whenever these things are discovered, usually the repercussions of those things, for instance, the fact that we're not, that the solar system isn't geocentric, it's heliocentric. Those things don't necessarily immediately turn out to propel society forwards. And so I think that what we're seeing here is an oversimplification of the larger sociological idea of societal or civilizational progression. And so just watch out for that when categories, which are implicit in what Tyson is saying, are conflated and all labeled, you know, as science, and there's nothing else besides science which can propel us into a further state, into a more productive, progressive state, you know, that's wrong. Now, let me get to the other side of that. I totally agree with what he's saying, that if we reject intellectual investigation of the world around us, we will, as a nation, as a society, fall into despair. And I believe that we fall into despair because of that, because the investigation of the world around us is inherently a dutiful response of man in relation to God, because God in Genesis gave us the creation mandate to go and take dominion over creation, right? And so man has this innate desire to want to act in a godly fashion, as tainted and as broken as that desire or passion may be now after the fall took place in Genesis 3. Man has this innate desire to take dominion over creation. And so I think as a Christian, I can say we need to consistently observe the world around us. And we need to, you know, make use of the scientific method and things of that nature, tools which we discover, you know, technology which advances. We need to make use of these things in order to discover the world around us, in order to gain a better understanding of what God has created. That is a motivation of all motivations right there. For Tyson, he doesn't necessarily have that motivation. He doesn't have an ultimate motivation besides that of mere desire. He desires to explore the world around us in an honest manner, or so he says. And then what? Then we all die, right? And Tyson would admit that the whole universe is going to burn out in a massive heat death, and that everything that we now know is not going to exist any longer. That is Tyson's worldview. He doesn't believe in an eschatology. He doesn't believe in a state of glory. So he's left with this kind of fizzling out of humanity and fizzling out of meaning. Everything fizzles away with the material universe. And so what, then, you know, thinking about that end, we ask, well, what's it all matter anyways? What's it matter? This is why famous philosophers past have, you know, adopted such dismal outlooks. We can think of Nietzsche, or Nietzsche, some pronounce it, who, you know, was basically a nihilist. He was a nihilist because he didn't see a meaning, an ultimate meaning in anything. And so he was eventually driven to very deep depression. Nothing for him had any sort of transcendent meaning to which he could grasp onto. So things like suicide and sickness and pain, human suffering, the killing of others. I mean, stuff like that ultimately doesn't matter because there's no ultimate moral. There's no ultimate ethic. There's no ultimate ending. There's no ultimate meaning to the universe. And so when Tyson finds all this meaning in intellectual exploration of the world around us, he's acting inconsistently with his worldview. There's nothing for him at the end of the tunnel. There's no light for him at the end of the tunnel. And so when he acts like that, you know, Americans are denying science and that all these people are denying science and assumes that that's the first time it's ever happened. One, we need to admit that that's not the first time it's ever happened. Two, we need to also admit as Christians that yes, it is very important that we explore the world around us because it is God's revelation, and exploring God's world is what man was designed to do, to submit to God in everything that we do, including our intellectual thinking, including our minds. We're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. Being a Christian is being intellectual, is being a discoverer of the world which surrounds us. And so let's go on further with what Tyson has to say.
What is true and what is not? What is reliable, what is not reliable? What should you believe, what should you not believe?
Okay, and I want to point out quickly here that as an atheist or even as an agnostic, Tyson really doesn't have a basis for truth, and he doesn't have a basis for justified true belief. And so when we're talking about when Tyson goes on and he's talking about what is true and what is false, or what should we believe and what we should not believe, that is fundamentally inconsistent with his adopted worldview of scientific or philosophical naturalism and materialism. It's inconsistent with who he professes to be. And so when he's talking about what is true, he's being inconsistent. And the reason I say that is because truth should not, according to an atheist worldview, if you're an atheist, if you reject the very reason we're able to know anything at all, and that is God, if you reject that, you really have nowhere to ground a standard for truth. And so what Neil says is true to him, and what I say is true to me, and really we can argue about it, but who's to say that we ever take a true side, that we ever discover the truth? And so what happens with atheism is you really foundationally, you give up, according to an atheistic worldview, you give up the possibility of knowledge. And, you know, I'm not saying that atheists can't know things. I'm saying they're being inconsistent when they say they do know things, because according to an atheistic worldview, we should not be able to know anything at all. We're just matter in motion. We're just bags of chemicals popping and fizzing. What I say is just a result of the chemicals in my brain being acted upon by the laws of physics and biology. And what Neil says is just a result of the same thing for him. The only difference is that the juices in my head have flown a different way than the juices in his head, and that the laws of physics, depending on certain confounding variables around us, that the laws of physics and biology have acted differently on both of us. And so we come to two different naturalistically determined conclusions. And who's to say either one of those things are true? And I know that's a mouthful. If you want resources on something like that, look at Always Ready by Dr. Greg Bonson. Look at Cornelius Van Til with Christian Apologetics. Look at Richard Pratt with Every Thought Captive. That's a good introductory book to the Christian defense. Every Thought Captive by Richard Pratt Jr. Okay, moving on.
And when you have people who don't know much about science standing in denial of it and rising to power, that is a recipe for the complete dismantling of our informed democracy.
Well, how much do you want us to know about science, Neil? I mean, most of the people that take office are attorneys and have no scientific, you know, background to speak of, except for the prerequisites in their schools and undergrad and high school. So, I mean, begs the question of how much do you want these guys to know? Because as soon as they know a certain point, are you going to come back and say, you need to know more, right? Not everybody's an astrophysicist.
Let us demand that educators around America teach evolution not as fact, but as theory.
Okay, now that right there with Mike Pence saying what he just did, what he's basically expressing is the disappointment of our public education system, which teaches evolution as a fact, and he says that it shouldn't be taught as a fact, it should be taught as a theory. Now, a scientist who's been in the field for a long time would tell you that, you know, a theory can be as real as gravity, okay? And because gravity, technically, is just a theory. It doesn't mean gravity doesn't exist. And they're right to say that. And I think Pence is just kind of being sloppy with his language. But I think what's important to note here is Neil's aggression toward Christians who want a Christian worldview represented alongside evolution in the schools. And what's important to note about evolutionary theory is that it's not an undebated fact of science. It's a very debated area of science. Biological evolution is a very debated area of scientific exploration. And it's not just a universal agreement or a unanimous agreement on the theory of evolution. There are those who take different perspectives when it comes to naturalistic evolution. There are those who are even, secularists who deny Darwinian evolution in the scientific community. And then you have Christian scientists who are arguing and making strong evidential cases for things like a young earth or for things like the immediate creation of all the animals and of man. And so you see this division within the scientific community. And what the secular atheistic scientific community wants to do is basically eliminate the Christian scientists from having any voice at all, because they are just automatically unscientific because they're Christians. But what needs to be noted here is that both the Christian and the atheists are bringing their worldviews into the arena. It's not just the exploration of evidences around us. That's not as easy as that sounds. That's not what's going on. It's a fundamental question of what this evidence is. What constitutes evidence? What causes evidence to be what it is? Who, if anything, created evidence? And Christians are going to say God created evidence, the facts in the universe. And secular atheists are going to say that, well, nothing created the evidence. It's, we're exploring interesting themes in quantum theory and things like that. So we're going to interpret the evidence differently. We're going to be looking at the same rock, but we're going to come to it with different philosophical presuppositions, if you will. And those are beliefs that we come to the situation with beforehand. And so that's all I would say about that, is that when we hear the word evidence is not just something that we can take for granted as something that everyone should agree about, because not everybody agrees what evidence, not everybody agrees concerning what evidence is. Not everybody agrees about what constitutes or what makes evidence. And so those are things that are debated, and what should be noted is that the only basis for truth in regards to evidence is found in the Christian position, because when you get to atheism, you fall back on the problem we talked about earlier, and that is the fact that the atheist has no foundation for truth. How do we know a rock is a rock? We're just a bag of chemicals popping and fizzing and saying this is a rock. Well, we don't know if it's a rock. Furthermore, when we get to the more fundamental or more advanced questions of, well, how old is this fossil? Using the carbon dating systems and things like that, radiometric dating and all of those advanced ways of telling how old something is. When we come to those types of situations, you know, all we're and then those things come into debate. All we're doing is as two different biological accidents is just, you know, we're just blurting out things that we say are facts, according to the atheistic position. There really is no ground for truth or justified true belief. There's no ground for saying, yes, I know that. But in the Christian position, there is a ground for those things. There is a reason, there is a justification for us claiming knowledge, and that is that the general revelation in which we live, that's the world around us, God's revelation, is that it's God's revelation, right? And because it's God's revelation, it can be known. And because we are creatures created by God to do that which God has determined us to do or commanded us to do at the outset of creation, these things can be known. And so we have a grounding for our knowledge. We have a grounding for truth claims. And all truth claims, all knowledge is found in the person and work of Jesus Christ.
Increasing number of parents showing skepticism about vaccinations.
Voters have approved a ban on GMOs.
Call climate change unproven science.
That's not the country I remember growing up in. Not that we didn't have challenges. I'm old enough to remember the 60s and the 70s.
Okay, so remember, he just said, that's not the country I remember growing up in. He's saying, I don't remember a country that denied science like we're denying science now. Okay, so pay attention to that as we move on.
We've got a hot war and a cold war, civil rights movement, and all of this was going on. But I don't remember any time where people were standing in denial of what science was.
That is just totally false, okay? In the same breath, he contradicts himself. Well, implicitly anyway. He brings up the civil rights movement, and then he says, I don't remember a time in my country where people were denying what science was. Okay, essentially is what he said, paraphrasing, of course. But in the same breath, he's mentioning things like the civil rights movement, which, goodness, is a result, is a necessary is a necessary effort which resulted from what people thought science was. Okay, we got to remember that there was a time in this country in the 1800s where people actually looked at men and women of Neil deGrasse Tyson's skin color and said, those are not humans. And guess what they did? They used things like Darwin's theory of evolution in order to back that up. The antebellum slave traders did not think, or at least they argued this way in order to benefit themselves and their plantations, did not think that African Americans were to be considered humans. That's why you have things like the Three-Fifths Compromise. Okay? This is a fundamental lapse in scientific understanding. And it's where let's rewind back to that point in time, because in the 19th century and in the 18th century, people were actually using science in order to say, if you deny this, you're out of your mind. And if you deny this, you should be put in jail. Okay. Remember, abolitionists against the slave trade were not looked upon nicely. Okay. There's people who wanted to put them away as people who were committing treason and things of that nature. Okay. And, you know, they were saying everything. They were using the Bible to back this up. They were using science to back this up. Okay. Neither place, either science or the Bible, can you find support for antebellum type slavery. You can't do it. Yet during that time, people were doing the exact same thing as Neil deGrasse Tyson is doing in this video, except in a different cultural and chronological context. They were saying that if you don't agree with us, you're not a thinking person. You should be put out. Okay? You're not a thinking person. I can't believe that you would even bring that up. I can't believe that you would deny this. They were doing the same thing back then that Dr. Tyson is doing here in this video in the 21st century. And I want to call everybody's attention to that because the evolutionary community endorses and embraces a system of thought which was predicated in the context and upon the assumption that there were people who should have been considered humans that were not considered humans. Evolutionary theory, biological evolution, that theory has explicitly racist roots. And nobody wants to talk about that, okay? Neil deGrasse Tyson doesn't want to talk about that. Richard Dawkins does not want to talk about that. People within the scientific community who embrace that view do not want to talk about that. Now you wonder why we have such a dismal view of life in this society. Abortions are legalized, right? For eugenic or you know, just purposes of inconvenience, elective and eugenic abortions are legalized. Both are legalized under Roe v. Wade. We have end of life philosophies now, which say that, you know, when you're at a certain age, why shouldn't you just be able to go in and elect to give it all up, right? We have such a dismal view of life. And if we're all just pond scum that came out of, you know, somewhere in the distant, distant, distant past, why have a higher view of life? Why? Why is it wrong to murder a baby? Why is it wrong to murder yourself at the end, towards the end of your life, or at any time for that instance, for that matter? You know, it's just being consistent. Embracing a culture of death is just being consistent with an evolutionary worldview. It's a very, very dismal, dismal outlook. And if I would encourage you to look at figures in the past who embraced philosophical and scientific naturalism, who just were at the end of their rope. They had, people like Nietzsche and people like him were just at the end of their rope. Absolutely sad and absolutely dismal. I mean, you can go down the road now and meet people that talk like that, and they see no problem in any of that, in talking about death as if it's just this, no, just go ahead and kill them off. No, well, the Bible says that death is the enemy. So if I am to introduce a biblical worldview here, and I'm going to, the Bible condemns this way of thinking, this whole evolutionary worldview, because life is precious. Life was immediately created by God and was made by God to glorify God and to spend eternity with God. Life just wasn't some accident that came out of, you know, primordial soup. And on that basis, there is no foundation for morals or anything like that. So Neil and others are just being consistent in saying these things. But make no mistake about it. When Neil invokes the history of our nation and said, I don't really see a time where this country denied science. Just remember the slave trade. Remember that. Because the whole assumption behind that eased people's consciences was the fact that African Americans were not people. Remember that. And what they did, the tool that they used to argue that point was Darwinian evolution. When it was a novel idea. Darwin had barely just stepped off the beagle when people had started using his theory for the purposes of the slave trade.
One of the great things about science is that it is an entire exercise in finding what is true.
It is an entire exercise of exploring God's revelation, which is by definition truth. And only the Christian can say that. He can't consistently say that. Science is an entire exercise in discovering the truth of God's general revelation in nature.
The hypothesis, you test it, I get a result. A rival of mine double checks it because they think I might be wrong. They perform an even better experiment than I did, and they find out, hey, this experiment matches. Oh my gosh, we're onto something here.
No, he's totally right in describing the scientific method. Totally right. I agree with him.
And out of this rises a new emergent truth.
Now, I don't know what he's talking about there. That's strange. A new emergent truth. I don't know. Maybe a truth that was there before we discovered it, or truth. I don't know what he's trying to say there, but he still hasn't justified his idea for truth. He hasn't justified his stating and assuming that he can know what truth is, and that on his worldview, that truth can even be something that exists in the first place. He's not given a justification for that assumption. And so we need to go back and look at what people like Neil are telling us and ask ourselves, are they being honest? We need to ask ourselves the tougher questions. We need to ask ourselves the tougher questions in the sense that do atheists, do people who think that facts come out of the scientific method alone really have a basis for that? Because think about it this way. The scientific method works. If I just take that sentence, the scientific method works. There's no way to empirically justify that statement. The scientific method works. There's no way I can experiment that. It's just a circular argument to say, well, the scientific method works. Well, sure it does, but you can't show me. Let's say somebody goes so far as to say the scientific method is the only tool by which we can derive truth, okay? The scientific method is the only tool by which we can derive truth. Well, that statement in and of itself can't be proven by virtue of the scientific method. So it's just a circular argument. It's just a circular statement. And you're being inconsistent, you're being reductionistic and self-contradictory, and you've basically reduced yourself to absurdity because you can't prove that statement by using the method that you are so highly championing.
It does it better than anything else we have ever come up with as human beings. This is science. It's not something to toy with. It's not something to say, I choose not to believe E=MC². You don't have that option.
And nobody's doing that, by the way. What they're doing is they're disputing certain tenets, certain theories within the scientific community. They're not denying something as clear as gravity, right? Or E=MC². Nobody's denying that equation, that most properly basic mathematical equation. Nobody's denying those things. But when it comes to historical scientific exploration, people have some serious concerns, and I think those concerns are very justified on a biblical basis, because the Bible says that God created us immediately as people. We were people when God created us. Not monkeys, we weren't fish, we were people when God created us. Now, when the atheist comes in and says, no, we can't trust that the Bible's true, well, you can't trust anything's true according to your worldview. There is no foundation for truth according to your worldview. You're just biological pond scum. according to your worldview. That's not insulting. That's just really all anybody is, according to the atheistic naturalistic worldview. It's biological pond scum. They can call us something different. They can say, oh, we're stardust, or we're so valuable. We're the universe experiencing itself. Who cares? Right? According to atheism, there's nobody except human opinion giving value to anything. Everything is an exercise of human opinion on that worldview. There's not a loving God out there that is saying, you are who you are because I created you. And by the way, this is who I created you to be.
When you have an established scientific emergent truth, it is true whether or not you believe in it. And the sooner you understand that, the faster we can get on with the political conversations about how to solve the problems that face us. So once you understand that humans are warming the planet, you can then have a political conversation about that. You can say, well, should we, are there carbon credits? Do we do this? Do we put a tariff on? Do we fund? Do we subsidize? Those have political answers. And every minute one is in denial, you are delaying.
Don't let Dr. Tyson's assumptions fool you. There are respected men in the scientific community which have denied not climate change, but have denied the fact that humans are primarily instrumental in enacting that climate change. Okay, so basically they're saying that we know that the climate changes. That's obvious. I mean, even in seasons, you can see that in multiple year cycles, we can see the climate change. Look back in history, we see the climate changing several times. Look at geography, even geology. Things like that, and you can see the climate has changed by looking at certain levels in the soil. Looking at fossils even can tell us something about what the climate was like many years ago. But these people who are, Neil says they're denying climate change. Well, they're not denying climate change. They are questioning as to whether or not it's humans primarily causing the climate change. And there are good scientific answers against a human caused, or scientific rebuttals, I guess, against a human caused climate change.
The political solution that should have been established years ago. As a voter, as a citizen, scientific issues will come before you. And isn't it worth it to say, all right, let me at least become scientifically literate so that I can think about these issues and act intelligently upon them? Recognize what science is and allow it to be what it can and should be.
No disagreement there. No disagreement there at all. As a Christian, I can affirm. Science is good. Science is something given to us by God. Science is a valuable tool for exploring God's creation. And science is a valuable tool for allowing us to develop certain technologies which help humanity and aid humanity, which are blessings from God, which is a sign of God's grace, God's common grace to humanity. Yes, sure.
In the service of civilization, it's in our hands.
Well, I did it in 42 minutes and 15 seconds. I hope that you guys enjoyed or gleaned something from that. I'm not, myself, I'm not claiming to be some genius apologist, although this kind of thing helps to interact with, because I do have a debate coming up in June, on June 24th, so I would invite you all to tune in via live stream on the Reformed Collective's Facebook page. That's facebook.com/ Reformed Collective. So be sure to check that out. But yeah, guys, I just kind of wanted to go through that. I think that, there's Tyson, and then, there's people like Bill Nye. Although Tyson has more street cred than Bill Nye does. But, you know, there's these pop atheists that may or may not be smart gentlemen who are coming out and saying things, but they're making large assumptions. They're not arguing their point well. They're being very sloppy, and they're expecting you to be vulnerable to that which they tell you, and they expect you to accept what they say at face value. But that is not your job as a Christian. That is not your job as a human being made in God's image. Your job is to ask questions about God's creation and to explore God's creation. And you need to be asking questions about these things. The Christian position should be open to the questions of unbelievers and able to give an answer in obedience to what God tells us through the Apostle Peter. To be ready to give an answer, to be ready to give reasons for the hope that is within us. And so, you know, that's something that the Christian worldview should champion. And it's not something, unfortunately, that the secular scientific worldview is championing. Rather, they're expecting you to take their answers at face value and to run with it. Their words at face value and to run with it. You know, a 4-minute and 42-second video is not science, okay? That's not presenting some, you know, brand new scientific discovery. What needs to be understood is that science is something that every person can engage in, okay? Science is something to an extent that we all engage in every day. And that is because God has allowed us to be able to do that by virtue of his creation, the nature of his creation, his revelation, and his grace. And so I encourage you to check that out. I thank you for, you know, listening to this podcast, and I just pray that you guys glean something from it. I'm going to go ahead and end a little early. Sometimes we do an hour. I'm only going to stop here at 45 minutes because we've gone way over. But guys, thank you for listening. I hope this has helped you. Be sure to visit us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/reformcollective. Visit us on the web. That's www.reformedcollective.com. Or on Twitter, that's at @refcollect. That's at Ref Collect on Twitter. Go ahead and shout and give us a shout out on Twitter. We love you guys. God bless. I used to live like I was under attack, dodging arrows from my past. I had no hope for tomorrow. Felt so much pressure, yes, I thought I would crack. But now there's no looking back. I'm moving forward, cause I know I got my armor now. No fear, no doubt, can't shoot me down, yeah. I got my armor now, no fear, no doubt. Gonna shoot me down, 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 down.